Brother Michael J. Magruder is going to come. He's a student over at Southern Bible Institute and preacher. That's your job. Come do what God has called you to do. Y'all welcome him. Bless you, brother.
All right, is that a little bit better? All right, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 24. For your reading, I'll be reading the New Living Translation, the NLT translation. Verse 18, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds to those who are on the road to destruction. But we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. As the scripture says, I will destroy human wisdom and discard their most brilliant ideas. So where does that leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made all of them look foolish and has shown their wisdom to be useless and nonsense. Since God has the wisdom, since God in his wisdom has saw to it that the world would never find him through human wisdom, he has used our foolishness of preaching to save all who believe. That 22nd verse. God's way seems foolish to the Jews because they want a sign from heaven to prove it's true. And it's foolish to the Greeks because they believe only what agrees with their wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, meaning he was nailed and he was nailed to the cross, the Jews get offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the mighty power of God and the wonderful wisdom of God. If I had to title this message, I'd title it The Simplicity of Preaching. The Simplicity of Preaching. Have you ever stopped and truly thought about just what it is about the cross that we hold so dear? The cross that we as Christians place at the forefront of our symbol for the Christ that we serve. I at one time tried to verbalize what the cross truly meant to me, so I penned it in the form of a poem. What is the cross that you see? Is it a symbol or object that can be worn as a piece of fine jewelry? Is it the representation of the commitment to a religious cause? What is the cross that you see? Is it that lone symbol that wards off evil? Is it a reminder of a love that once was? What is the cross that you see? Does it identify you as a sinner or a saint? Does it frighten you as it's burned on the lawn of our forefathers? What is the cross that you see? Is it meant to be advertised and to show off our worldly possessions? Is it meant to be tattooed on your skin to make you closer to God? Is it designed to be used as a headstone for the unknown soldier? What is the cross that you see? For as I look at that old rugged cross, I see a man that has laid down his life for you and for me. The cross that I see is a foundation of new life, a foundation where all sin and shame is laid to rest. The cross that I see shelters me from all hurt, harm, and danger. That means in season and out of season. The cross that I see is where I can lay all my burdens aside, for I know that his yoke is easy, and I know that his burdens are light. The cross that I see gave his only begotten son, that says, so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That's the cross that I see is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Salvation in all of its glory. Now, the Apostle Paul's great business was proclaiming the cross. Now, the translation, it says that how foolish, the message of the cross sounds to those on the road of destruction. The original text says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So we have to examine the phrase, the preaching of the cross. What is preaching? The word translated preaching is not the ordinary word for announcing or proclaiming, which is used so frequently in the New Testament. Preaching is the logos, which is used for Christ himself in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word, the Logos, was God. So Paul, in that 17th verse, he says, look, Christ sent me here to preach the gospel, just the Logos of God, the doctrine of the cross, or else we would miss the message. So basically, we can't let the preaching of the Word of God get passed over by beautiful verbiage. We can't let it get obscured behind human eloquence. We can't let the Word of God get weakened or diluted by sweet music and sounds to our ears. We can't let that happen by charming rhetoric or soulful antics. Paul didn't desire the people to listen to him preach the word with admiration and leave the church saying, wow, that preacher sure did show out. Or, man, that preacher set my soul on fire and with that song and dance that he did. No, instead, he wanted the people to leave the church saying, what guilty sinners are we? What guilty sinners are we? And how amazing is the love of God that he sent his only son to die and bear the shame of the cross for our redemption. So I say again, when we preach, we have to speak the direct word and the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a song that penned it. It said, at the cross, where I first saw the light, all my burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith where I received my sight. Now how happy am I all the day. See, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't stand up here and try and tickle your ears for amen. We shouldn't be trying to say, hey, look at me. Say amen because of what I'm saying about our Lord and Savior. But rather, I should be here grappling with your consciences, with the consciences of those who are seeking Christ. Can you imagine that right now? There's someone in here, and even some folks out there that are at a very pivotal point in their lives. If you can imagine, and if you can use your spiritual imagination, think of a life as a brittle thread. And the preached word of God is the determining factor of you coming to Christ and being saved with certainty, or you walking out that door back into a life of uncertainty. So how foolish and wicked would it be of us if we simply entertain you with song and preach and with a song and preach a message of such insignificance and allow you to walk your way back out into Satan's grip? It was once said that there's only the thickness of a man's ribs between his soul and hell. Now, how guilty before God would we be if we sought the praise and admonition of others when preaching God's logos, instead of endeavoring to bring him face to face with their sins before God and seeking to get them to come to Christ for refuge? So that's the message of the cross that Paul was led to preach. So what do we mean when we speak of the cross? The Greek philosopher Cicero stated that the cross speaks to that which is so shameful, that which is so horrible, that it should never be mentioned in polite society. Yet in Galatians 6 and 14, we find Paul exclaiming, God forbid that I preach that I should preach glory, save for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So sometimes I wonder if we have any concept in our day that what significance that the cross has within our lives. So the death of our Lord and Savior was far worse than anything by the gallows. The death of our Lord and Savior that he experienced was worse than the death by the electric chair. It was far worse than death by hanging or by lethal injection. It was crucifixion, which was the physical nailing of one's hands and one's feet to a cross, to two pieces of wood, crossed in the form of a cross, hoisted in the air, and while the full weight of your body pushes down on those nails and bloody spikes, and left there to a slow and torturous death, exposed for all to see. And if that wasn't enough, church, having a crown of thorns pressed down on the top of your head, and then having a Roman fighting spear thrust into your side, that upon already being whipped until your back was mere shreds of skin. So the cross, my brothers and sisters, is where people were found guilty of the most vilest and most awful of crimes. If you were crucified, you were considered rejected by man and accursed by God. Now, can you imagine the mere pain and anguish that someone suffered from crucifixion? And the cross bore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means that man's heart was so wicked, it was so sinful, it was so pitiful that there was no way by which he could have been saved than through the eternal Son of God becoming man and suffering the most ignominious death for our redemption. But it also meant that in the most complete way, man's heart was fully exposed. And at the cross, man showed out the very worst of his nature. But get this, God showed out the very infinite of his love, and that being the love of love for us. If you ever want to truly know the awfulness of sins which our hearts are capable of, stand in faith before the cross and contemplate. Just think about, again, God's holy and spotless Son hanging from the cross, the very expression of a man's attitude towards God. It's the message at the cross. I don't want us to think that it was just the physical suffering that man heaped upon our Lord and Savior Jesus that made atonement for our sins. Jesus knew that in order for man to be acceptable in God's sight, he had to demonstrate the ultimate and infinite love towards mankind. Righteousness demanded that sin be punished, and it demanded that a debt be paid. And there upon the cross, sin was punished, and the debt was paid in full. It was paid by the person that was our blessed substitute. That debt was paid for me, and that debt was paid for you. Now, that payment went out to all over the world, the Jews and the Gentiles, the believers and the non-believers. Jesus paid it all. And at the time when we sit before the throne of judgment, our attitudes towards the cross, towards the preaching logos of God, will determine the fate of our souls. Now, during my short lifetime here on this earth and leading up to this day, the Lord has blessed me to have had the opportunity to travel all over the world. I'm retired military, been there 25 years. I'm blood, sweat, and tears. Uncle Sam got his, and now I'm out. I have a sound mind. I have all my legs, and I just pray for my brothers and sisters that are still in there. So he's blessed me to go to the extreme East Coast and the extreme West Coast and to the far reaches of distant countries. He has brought me through some of the most trying times, and he has let me experience the different cultures of people. He has provided me with the opportunity to see people at their best times and people at their worst. He has exposed me to some of Satan's most elite soldiers, masters of hate, greed, mayhem, and trickery. Yet through it all, he always has a way of reminding me that through him and by the sacrifice at the cross, all things are possible for those that hold fast unto his unchanging hand. Now, through grace, I can now stand before you and anyone and testify that all things work together for the good of those that love God. I know that it was nothing but his grace and his mercy that has brought me thus far. And I believe the songwriter best put it when he's saying, I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe that he brought me this far just to leave me. Paul states that to those that are lost, the preaching of God's word in their eyes is foolishness. The Jews, they required the signs of God. The Greeks relied on the wisdom of man, all of which are folly because God's miracles are too numerous to count. His wisdom surpasses all understanding, and his might endures through all every situation. The preaching of the cross is to them that are lost foolishness. Yet, by that foolishness, souls are won to Christ. Now, sometimes we don't get the solemnity of being lost in Christ. So if you walk out that door right now unsaved, without Christ in your life, you're lost. If something tragic were to happen to you and you were suddenly ushered from this life, you go into eternity lost. You're lost. You don't think of these things when we go through our everyday life and our everyday activities. So yes, the unsaved will say that we preach foolishness. They'll say things like, "How can you tell me that the Son of God came down in human form, suffered the cross, just to forgive me for my sins? That doesn't make sense." Now, if the gospel of Christ is hidden and not understood, it's hidden and not understood to them that are lost. But they don't understand because they're lost, and that's a terrible condition to be in. So as I look back over all of that the Lord has brought me through, as I look back over what the Lord is still bringing me through, and when I look to the future, what the Lord is going to bring me through, I can't help but to think, what an awesome God that we serve. What an awesome God we have for him to sacrifice, give up his only begotten Son so that I might have eternal life through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. And I find myself asking, what would I have sacrificed for him? Since I made this decision to humble myself and give my life to Christ, I found that the road did not get easy. As one would expect who was new to the ministry, things don't get easier when you accept your calling to Christ. The minute I gave my life to Christ and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior was the minute I became public enemy number one. Satan came at me with full force in order to try and get me to stray from God's will and abandon him and his heavenly grip. Now, the funny thing is about it is that Satan knew all of my weaknesses. Yes, but that changed once I accepted my calling to Christ. I lost my best friends, my close relatives, my good co-workers, and my good relationships, all because I acknowledged that Jesus Christ was the head of my life. And I'm going to have, and that I was going to have, or try and have a relationship with him. But I found out something that I never knew before. I found out that I had peace, I had love, I had joy that only my Father in heaven could provide. And yes, I can testify today that he gave me a new walk. He gave me a new home. He gave me new friends with the same mind and a relationship that will never alter, falter, or change. I found out that he too knew all of my weaknesses, just like the devil did. But instead of using them for my self-destruction, he built me up where I was weak, and he strengthened me where I was strong. And since accepting Jesus, I know that all things are possible through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, through each life's experience I gained knowledge, and I gained understanding, that which only God can provide. And as I close, in this world, God allows us to be witnesses to certain tragic events. It is not our understanding as of why he allows us to go through some of the things that he does. However, from each life's experience and the witnessing thereof, he brings us strength to lend to our testimony to someone else. When you are witness to a tragic event, find comfort and pray for that family member or that unfortunate soul. Thank God in heaven that you are protected, because that could have easily been you. Find peace in knowing that God is good and his mercy is everlasting. Be strengthened by your experience. Hold fast to your faith and be thankful that he is who he is, the Alpha and Omega. Live life and be thankful to him at all times, because tomorrow is not promised. What is promised is that he provides a resting place for us where there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow, there is no more hurt, there's only love, peace, and joy. And it all starts at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. The burdens of my sin were rolled away, and it was there by faith I received the light, and now how happy am I all the day. It's just the simplicity of preaching.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Thank you so very, very much for allowing the Lord to use you. On your bulletins, you will notice there's a typo on here that I need to correct for you. His name is not Michael Magruder, as is mentioned on the back. It's Matthew Magruder. It's on the inside with his bio. You'll see Matthew, and on the back side it says Michael. My apologies for that, brother. And you know what? I'm glad Matthew showed up because he wouldn't have been as good as Michael. So, and I got me some good preaching. So at this time, right now, Good Shepherd Mass Choir is going to do one more selection. And they've allowed, since I'm the pastor, I asked them, could I sing with them? And they had to think about it for a while. So they're going to let me, can I come? And okay, so we're going to sing a happy song. Before I go up, I just want to let you know that after the next song, the next preacher that we have will be a preacher from Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary, straight from Mississippi. Let's see, Arkansas, Mississippi to Texas, Brother Andre A. Kirkland, and he will be bringing the Word of God to you. So, preacher, when we finish the song, you come on up and let us hear what the Lord has shown you. Okay. Happy song. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Lonely when you feel afraid, you're not the only, we are all the same, in need of mercy to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need.
And all God's people say amen.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And all God's people say amen.
Thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends.
And all God's people say amen.
If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know, love is all we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, and he so loved the world, he sent his son to save us all.
And all God's people say amen.
Whoa,
and all God's people say amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends.
And all God's people say amen.
Bless it all the poor in spirit that are torn apart. Bless it all.
the persecuted and the pure in heart. Let's see all the people hungry for another star. This is the kingdom, the kingdom of God. And all God's people say amen. Whoa, and all God's people say amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all God's people said amen. Say amen. Whoa, and all God's people say amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all God's people say amen, man, man. And all God's people say amen. God bless you.